in our late night recording while our son Riley is napping.
Love that snoo.
He is snooing. If you have a small baby, we do recommend the snoo. Rent it, buy it. Game changer.
Oh yeah, I won't go another night without it until he can
Although,
sleep on his
own. I gotta say, because we were in shifts where I was up until 3 a.m., then you'd wake up at 3, and I would go to sleep.
Yeah.
That quality time with Riley watching.
Yeah, the nighttime.
Tom Cruise movies or 24. I mean, he was mostly sleeping. But anyways, we just saw Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Part 1. Oh, man.
Yeah, Jess. I mean, we've rewatched all of them in the past week. Had plenty of conversations about which is the best one. It's really tough to decide. We're very lucky that every movie could be a favorite or the best. I mean, these are 7 very solid films. I guess, first off, how does this movie rank for you? Can you rank it?
I knew you were going to ask that. And okay, so the biggest thing for us, so Mission Impossible 3, I believe, is both of our favorites.
Yeah.
And so the major question is, does this one knock that out of the top slot? And for me, sitting with it, I still think no, but it's a very, very, very close second.
Yeah. So yeah, same for me. It's not going to be my favorite. But okay, before this, I always ranked MI3 my favorite. MI2 is like a soft spot in my heart. I'm always going to love it. Mission Impossible Fallout is the best overall film. Is this one better than Fallout is the question. And it's tough because it's really part one. So when we see part two, will that kind of change, you know?
That's true. But I do appreciate that for being a part one, part two, this is a solid film. It doesn't stop right in the middle of an action scene. It doesn't, you know, leave you on a cliffhanger. I mean, it sets it up perfectly for the next movie, but I'm never going to feel like with Harry Potter, like I'm watching half of a movie. You know.
Yeah, it's solid 2.5 hours, its own movie. I guess first, we got to say, we went on Monday, July 10th. It's like a
pre-screen.
Yeah, one screening. We got an IMF pin.
Oh, yeah, I got to pull those up.
And some posters. Crowd was great. Packed house. No hot dogs in our row, I could tell.
That's true. The crowd definitely was there. Specifically yeah. For Mission Impossible.
Indiana Jones.
Happy about it.
Hot dog crowd, beer yeah. crowd. Mission Impossible,
well
behaved.
These guys were focused.
Yeah. No nonsense. Like
a little bit of popcorn rustling, but
oh,
you know.
Don't even start on that. Oh, man. There was some rustling going on nearby.
I had a laughing attack.
Listen, if you've listened to our previous episodes, you know that I have a problem with the popcorn grabbers that dig. I mean, there's good old Jess over here. When she's digging her hand, she's like, oh, she must have some her eye on a good kernel. You just know she better. And I'm thinking, this kernel better be worth it with all the rustling she's got going on.
And for all of my fans there, you understand that there is the mindless eating that is going on, especially if there's like a tense scene, you know, like it's just get that popcorn and, you know, it's just eat and watch. And I mean, that's half the fun of movies. I mean, even if you're at home, that mindless eating, not that it's healthy. I'm not promoting it by any standards. I'm just, I know there's a bunch of people out there that can understand.
Yeah. I got to say this too. I don't always get snow caps at the movies. For Indiana and for Mission Impossible, I did. And both times I didn't finish it, which is kind of rare for me.
What, are you just tooting your own horn over there?
Well, there's reasons why I didn't finish. Is it health reasons or is it because I was enjoying the movie so much?
That you couldn't eat?
Indiana Jones, same thing, mouth open. Like, you could have thrown popcorn in my mouth and I would just keep staring at the screen. Mission Impossible, man, like, my heart was beating. Like, I was feeling it. It was stressful.
Oh my gosh, Danny, the third act, physical reaction.
These movies, it's at the point, it's an event you got to see on the big screen. I mean, the plot is there, but honestly, it's all about the action. Like, how are they going to top the previous scene?
Right.
And because it seems so realistic and so practical, like what they're doing compared to like Fast and Furious 10, which was just
ridiculous.
It's become a joke at this point. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, after watching this movie, how could you go back and watch Fast 10? An action scene in Rome that's like CGI, green screen. I mean, this Mission Impossible, Everything is impressive in this movie.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, Fast X, 10, whatever, we saw not that long ago. And I already, like, it blurs together. I mean, it's meaningless, right? I mean, Mission Impossible, it all stands out.
Yeah, and Fast was also, it's a part one of two or three. We don't know at this point.
So annoying.
But.
Leave you hanging. Huh. They leave you hanging.
They leave us hanging?
Yeah, it like ends on a cliffhanger.
What's a cliffhanger? Oh, because the whole crew plane crash thing? Off the dam?
Yeah, off the dam.
Off the dam. Let's not talk about that. All right, so the movie, amazing. It starts off, boom, you're right into it. Submarine. There's what, phantom subs on a radar, phantom missiles. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to spoil anything because it's so good. And if you're listening, you're going to go see it because it's almost 100% Rotten Tomatoes. I think 97 right now at this point.
It's outstanding.
Yeah. You're going to like this movie. The plot of it, there's...
And this is 100% a movie you should see in theaters. I mean, watching it at home on, you know, your living room TV, it's not going to be the same. This is 100% a Cinemark theater movie.
And this is one, the teaser played before Top Gun, and we saw Top Gun 7 times in theaters, so we know the teaser very well. We just watched it again. It doesn't show almost anything of the plot. And I've tried to stay away as best I could. And honestly, because if you describe the plot to somebody with like the, what's going on in the movie, it doesn't
sound right.
Yeah. And I would describe it as evil AI. Who's going to control it? Mm-hmm. There's a mysterious key, which, oh, guess what? It's also a magic necklace.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Like 75% of movies, you need a necklace in the movie. That's important. And this one has it. It's a key. What's the key for? Who's going to control the key? Doesn't matter. You're going to like the movie. You're going to go see it. Do you have a favorite action scene? And we have the everything in the airport in the beginning. There's so much going on. You have Rome. You got Venice. You've got the train.
I know. Where does the train take place? Southern, another part of Italy?
Yeah, where's the Orient Express? That's a good question.
The Orient Express, right? Yeah, I feel like that's Eastern, like Switzerland or something, but... It's tough. It's tough for me because Venice will always have a special place in my heart. We've been there twice now, and it's my favorite city. You can get lost and end up at the same bridge a million times. The canals everywhere. There's nothing like Venice. So those scenes are pretty amazing, but I really enjoyed the car chase in Rome, weaving through traffic in the comedic little tiny yellow car. I think it probably helped that for the pre-screen on Monday, we saw a inside look, I guess. And they talked about, you know, how they filmed and how they had a special, you know, connection to that car, nicknamed her Trixie, I think, because of how she handled on the cobblestone streets of Rome. So that, you know, just seeing that beforehand made me appreciate and, like, look a little closer, I guess, during those scenes. But, I don't know. What about you?
There's too much. I mean, honestly, having watched, Rogue Nation, Fallout in this movie, there's definitely, like, a style they go with as far as action scenes leading to another action scene. I mean, I think Rogue Nation, where you've got, like, the car chase leads right to the bike chase. Or Fallout, same thing. You know, the breakout, the truck chase turned into a bike chase. With this one in Rome, yeah. He's on a motorcycle. She's in a car. Then they're in a different car together. Like, it's just nonstop. Obviously, Venice, having been there, I know how confusing the streets are. And how you get lost.
If you can even call them streets.
Yes. So, I mean, it's basically a maze. And so him, like, running down these streets and, like, listening to Benji and Luther like tell him which way to go, like I can easily picture that. Like we tried to find our way home without a map. I mean, remember that?
It was terrifying.
I don't know what we were thinking.
Terrifying.
2014, no smartphones for us.
Right.
Jess didn't want to buy the map. She's like, no, too much money. Remember that? I remember that.
I wanted to be lost.
And I was like,
until it got dark and I was hungry.
And I'm like, old Danny over here, you know. He wants the map, Jess doesn't, so we try to find our way back. I don't know what we were thinking. Anyways, there's so much. The airport in the beginning, I think it's, I mean, you have this evil AI and like messing with the security footage, like where they're trying to, the let's call them the CIA, those two guys.
Oh, that were after Ethan the whole time? Yeah, I think they were with Kittredge.
Yeah, so you have people after Ethan, they're looking at security footage and they go to grab him and it's not him. It's like, there's so much.
That was really cool. Yeah. I mean, that was Luther. But then you've got the evil AI playing with them too.
Yeah, and I was telling Jess earlier that listening to an older episode of Light the Fuse podcast, Mission Impossible podcast, they were going over the Oliver Stone unused script for Mission Impossible 2 in which Ethan battled an evil computer, similar to what happened in this movie. And I remember listening to the episode years ago or a couple years ago and thinking it was crazy. This is nonsense. And it's tough to explain the plot of this movie as far as what the villain is, because there's a human villain. What's his name?
Gabriel.
Gabriel. So there is the evil entity, the computer, and there's Gabriel.
Who may or may not have a connection to Ethan's past.
Oh, he definitely does. That's the one thing. They show some like flashbacks early on in the movie, but they don't really go into it fully. And I'm wondering if part two will kind of...
Oh, I hope so. I mean, that's...
There's definitely more to it.
Absolutely. I mean, I have my suspicions, which I'll save or type out or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely set up that we're going to learn more about Ethan Hunt's past, which, I mean, even in his, you know, should you choose to accept this mission, kind of threatened him about, you know, why he got the position in the first place, which I love. I mean, it's so cool to see history like that.
Very true. And one of the great things about the movie is Kittredge is back from the first Mission Impossible movie. He's fantastic, as he was in the first film. So that's a lot of fun, because obviously there's history with these two characters that just kind of picks up where it left off. And then new to the crew, you have Grace, played by Hayley Atwell. You probably know her as Agent Carter from Captain America. Just like, I don't remember her at all.
I just, I didn't
You didn't love- like her.
I didn't love her. No.
You know what? Here's what I think your problem is.
Tell me.
You don't like the female sidekicks.
No, that's not true. I really like...
Indiana Jones, Dial of Destiny, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. You like her?
No, she was annoying,
too. She was annoying. Okay, but, you got a trend going on.
But, oh my gosh, what's the female agent in this? Ilsa.
Oh, Ilsa.
Love Ilsa.
Ilsa's great. I think I liked Grace because it was like a fresh team member. You know, we need that new person.
But she's not part of the team. I think that's what bothers me. Like, I'm good. I don't need the added, like, oh, this person is new and can't do anything. Like,
you're anti-growth for the IMF team in these movies. You got your people.
I like our people.
Listen, I'm the same. I guess,
or at least knowing that they're trained IMF agents that can, like, handle this stuff, not just some random pickpocket.
A random pickpocket.
I know. I'm being a little cruel.
Like Naya Nordoff Hall.
Ooh. No. Yeah. She was a random thing. Yeah, you're right.
I did like Naya. Yeah. Naya would be great to come back, but she's not.
Yeah. Naya didn't bother me.
Okay. Well, Grace has more energy, eccentric, like, and she's not backstabbing Ethan all the time, but she's doing her own thing. Like, she's not instantly part of the crew.
Right.
You know, she's got her own, like, motivation, and which I kind of like.
Danny trying to tell me that, you know, I'm against female sidekicks.
Well, I mean, it sounded like I don't.
And then you're jumping to conclusions over there.
I thought she was great. You know, of course, again, like.
I bet you did.
I did. Big fan. That was great.
She's pretty good looking, huh?
I wouldn't disagree. But obviously, Ilsa, I'm team Ilsa.
Good.
All right. Is there anything we can talk about before we get into spoilers real quick? Because Jess is getting tired, I can tell.
Damn, we might have passed that. I think we already did some spoilers.
What spoilers do we have?
I don't know. I even think bringing up Gabriel.
Talking about Gabriel, the main villain of the movie, is not a spoiler. He's in the trailer. He's in the marketing. You don't know anything about really the history with Ethan. Spoiler alert. All right, Jess, let's talk about it. What do you think of Ilsa and her character in this movie?
Great. I am shocked that, and again, spoiler alert, I'm shocked that they killed her. Very disappointing. I really like her character. I don't think it needed to happen other than the fact that they told us one of them was going to die. And, you know, as we just discussed, I would have been totally fine if it were Grace. But, you know, that wasn't likely.
Well, Grace would have been very much kind of like the cheap version of Carrie Russell dying in Mission Impossible 3. Like, okay. She's the younger, you don't know, but she's like young, like you feel like an innocent kind of character, doesn't get it fully, not
you
ready.
Just don't get it, dude. Danny hates that line.
All right, well, the positives related to Grace, when Ethan meets her, we finally see some magic.
Mm-hmm.
Literal
that
magic
was fun.
Tricks. Yes. Now
they do complement each other, I will say. Like watching them, it didn't bother me throughout the movie. I just wouldn't have picked her for Mission Impossible, I guess. But like I said, I don't know.
Well, I think
I'm not making any sense
yes,
because
obviously
the movie it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it's nothing bad.
No.
It's Ilsa, there's not that confrontation with Ethan anymore. They've kind of resolved stuff. Like there's just not that much for them to do. It'd be great to see them like actually team up, you know, fight crime together, but in this movie it very much felt like, oh, Grace is replacing Ilsa.
Right.
Right. 100%, which is a bummer. I mean, Ilsa fighting Gabriel on the bridge in Venice, pretty cool. Ethan running to her, trying to get to her, and that AI is telling him to go the wrong way.
Yeah, wrong direction.
He thinks Benji's talking to him. Like, that's awesome.
Oh, I had like this like sick feeling.
Yeah.
Like the whole time, like just like it felt so real. It was so stressful, intense. It was so good.
Yeah. I mean, they know what works in these movies. Tom Cruise running to somebody, like, that's all you need. Do the same thing over and over. I don't care. Like, they just change locations, do it better. Ilsa dying, I was surprised. I was surprised it wasn't more violent, emotional. I mean, after seeing Mission Impossible 3 with Lindsay dying.
Right.
That's why Mission Impossible 3 is so tough to beat, because it's such, like, you
emotional.
See the real reactions, and, like, it's heartbreaking. But anyways, Grace is alive, Elsa's dead. Bummer. The reality is nobody dies in these movies, because in the next movie, if they need Ilsa to come back for a mission, Grace is going to wear Ilsa's face.
Yeah.
That's truth. That's how it is.
I just... That's silly at this point,
that's
though.
That's the reality, man. They could kill off Tom Cruise. He's coming back. So overall, there's not much wrong with this movie that I can think of at all. I think the train sequence in the third act was
brilliant.
Awesome. I really like one that we actually got to see a female wear a mask for the first time, I think.
Although I do want to talk about, not that it's like something wrong with the movie. I just, if anyone else realizes that Grace does not have blue eyes. The White Widow very, very much has piercing blue eyes. And so she wears the mask, but she doesn't put contacts in. It doesn't like change her eye color.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, for Kittredge not to recognize that, that's fine. But her bodyguard guy.
It's her brother.
Yeah. I mean.
Zola?
Would be very, very noticeable. I'm just surprised they didn't.
Well, that's where it's. There could have been a scene cutout or just make it more realistic. Like, she forgot to do it. They didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the whole scene, a lot of it, Ethan's not in it. Ethan's trying to chase the train down on his bike. Trying to get on
it,
which is pretty cool because, of course, the mask machine breaks like it does occasionally in these movies.
Yeah.
But even that's like him getting on the train, bursting through the window, like that was great. It was awesome.
It was perfect.
We've seen that kind of thing before in MI3, just dropping down with the parachute or whatever you want to call it, right to the window.
I really like, too, before he jumps off the cliff on his bike, he has that scene with Benji that we've seen before of like, you really want me to do this? This is impossible. This is crazy. And then he does it anyways.
Yeah.
It really sort of, it builds the anticipation. It adds to the stress that, like, if Ethan Hunt is worried about this, I really need to be worried about this. So I just, I really like those moments that just sort of build the tension.
And the train, all the fight on the roof of the train, that's awesome. But it's not the highlight. The highlight is probably those 5 minutes when the train goes over the bridge and they have to climb up car by car.
Talk about gripping the edge of my seat.
I did not expect that. Like, I just didn't get it. Like, watching the trailer, I'm like, okay, cool, that's awesome. But the one by one, them climbing up the train car as it's falling over the edge through the, like, the kitchen.
Gosh, you have hot frying oil splashing everywhere.
Like, that's something, that's where, like, it takes it to the next level. I've never seen that before.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, we've seen, you know, I even think, like, Jurassic Park 2, Lost World.
The trailer, yeah, I was thinking
the trailer
about that.
Over it, but that's one. Right. I mean, they go through, what, three train cars?
Yeah, I think
four.
It seemed like it. I mean, right, same kind of
it's
idea.
It's like they're not safe yet. You know, they have to keep going. It's like, will it ever end?
Yeah, and that's all these movies really need to do is just keep being creative. It could be the same thing we've kind of seen before, but then, oh, guess what? You've never seen this before. And everything in this movie looks real. A lot of it, you know, is like minimal CGI. Tom Cruise doing his own stunts. Incredible, you know, stunt teams. And
incredible. That's the word.
Yeah, and even rewatching the movies, like watching Mission Impossible 2, like in the year 2000, they could have easily done some bad CGI for some of it. But for the most part, it's all like real, and that's very impressive. You could say mission accomplished.
No, we're not going to say that.
Yes.
We could say it about our podcast being completed.
You know, technically, Indiana Jones came out in June, so we've only missed May.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all, especially since we had a newborn.
He's still pretty young.
And we're doing it.
We are doing it. Recording, we've got a couple downloads for our previous episode.
Danny wants to go public.
No, we're not ready. Clearly, we're not ready.
I thought this one was pretty good.
We'll see. We got the AC going.
Oh, gosh.
I have a basement area set up for recording, but we got the baby up here, so it's...
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Is there anything else we can talk about, add to this movie? Anything you want to share with the audience that you really loved or why they should see it?
I mean, I just think, like, I can't say it enough, like, overall, this franchise is amazing.
Is it the best franchise ever?
I can't think of one better. I mean, what movie series that has, what, this is the seventh and an eight is coming? Can you think of that is still believable, realistic? Like, I'm so excited to go see the next one. I can't say that about Fast and Furious. I don't remember the last time I could say that about Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
I mean, well, even...
We saw Fast 9 three times in theaters, so...
Yeah, but...
It's not
But
great.
It's a different level of... You know, Fast 9, it's fun. You know, it's... The movies are fun. They're ridiculous. Mission Impossible, these are actually good movies.
Yeah.
Like, I could recommend this
to people.
If this
were last summer, we'd probably see it 4 or 5 times in theaters.
Oh, easy.
Hopefully, we get to see it at the drive-in soon.
We can take a baby to the drive-in.
Yeah, we will not be taking... Oh, that's funny. Real quick, my coworker, Alec...
Oh, no.
I mentioned, you know, we saw Mission Impossible, and he asked, oh, did you bring Riley? And I was like, what kind of person do you think I am? Like, what in our conversation made you think that I would bring an 11-week-old kid to the movie theater?
Who's going to cry at some point and disrupt...
Yeah, I was like...
The entire
hurt a little
group.
Bit, but no, we would not do that. Like, you can complain about hot dogs...
Oh, my gosh.
No, he is not old enough. He's got some time.
How old does he have to be?
I don't know what kids are like at age 3, if they're well-behaved enough, if you're watching an animated kind of film.
Ooh, I was 2 during my first movie.
Oh, that's too young. That's too young.
Aww. Maybe he'll be a good quiet boy.
It is Tom Cruise, and that's important.
It is.
Tom Cruise fanatic over here, so... Anyways, thanks for listening. If you want to send us an email, before you see the film at gmail.com. Nobody has ever sent us an email. And mom, if you're listening, no, do not send us an email. We're not talking about you. Anybody else we don't know, send us an email. Say hello. Tell us you enjoy this show, even if you don't. Before you see the film at gmail.com. Thanks for listening and have a good night.
Good night.